Hello, welcome to Swiss Info's programme for the 5th of April. I'm Jo Fay. Heroin and LSD, two illegal drugs that have an unusual history in Switzerland.
My veins are no good in my arm, so I inject in my hand mostly. I can see the veins easily, but they're quite fragile.
This week we speak to a woman who's been getting her heroin fix on prescription for the past 20 years. And we'll hear from a doctor who says we're fooling ourselves if we believe that major addicts can ever kick the habit. And from heroin to LSD, the drug of wild trips, psychedelia and hippies has made a comeback of sorts in Switzerland, but its recent use has been in a very different way.
LSD is not a medicament in the classical sense, like a pill for headache. LSD is more a catalyst, a substance that provides the possibility to go in a deep psychological process.
We'll hear how LSD has been used in the first clinical trial in 35 years. That's still to come. In the late 1980s and early 1990s, an open drug scene was allowed in Zurich. People could take drugs without fear of arrest in the Platzspitz Park, a space behind the Swiss National Museum in the centre of the city. It spiralled dramatically out of control, however, and the experiment became hugely controversial. When the park was eventually cleared and the open scene shut down, a legal heroin distribution programme was started for drug users with severe addictions. The prescription service still runs today. Swiss Info journalist Gabby Ochsenbein has been looking back at how this key time led to a change in the approach to addiction treatment. I asked her how exactly the heroin prescription programme works.
There are about 20 official distribution centres in Switzerland, mainly in the German-speaking parts of the country. People who take part on this programme, they have to be at least 18 years old. They are heavily dependent on heroin and must be sort of therapy resistant. That means they tried at least twice to get away from heroin without success. The program also includes medical and psychological treatment. The addicts usually get their shots once in the morning and then again in the evening.
And you visited one of these distribution centres. Can you tell me exactly what it was like there?
Well, I went to one distribution centre in the Swiss capital, Bern. There were about 20 to 30 addicts, some looking like bankers, others just like junkies in quite bad health. They have to give their fingerprints before getting access. Then, once they are in, they go to a separate room. They are supervised during the injections and are not allowed to take the drug out of the place. Otherwise, they could sell it, you know. It was quite a hectic coming and going, and some of them brought even their small children. There is a small play corner for the kids. That means they're allowed to bring their kids up to 3 years old.
Okay, and you also spoke to a doctor who was really involved in helping those who'd slipped into quite a desperate state while using drugs back in the open scene during that time. He's called Dr. André Seidenberg, and he's worked with thousands of addicts since then. Does he still view Swiss drugs policy as successful overall?
This heroin program he calls a success story, but he mentions at the same time that it has been marginal and never reached more than 5% of the affected people. The treatment of around 1,400 patients has been stable for the last 10 years. Dr. Seidenberg would prefer having more treatments of heavily dependent people.
In Switzerland, the majority of people addicted to opioids are in treatment, most of them with methadone, and a smaller number are on the heroin prescription program. All of those with a level of addiction that's very difficult to treat are on the heroin program. It would be preferable if the proportion of addicts in treatment could be raised, and if the consistency of this treatment could be raised.
So why is it that some people have stayed on this program for so many years and may not ever even come off it at all? You might think that the eventual goal would be to wean addicts completely off of heroin.
Well, first of all, it's proof that a person who receives daily fixes is more stable in every way. People taking part on the program can live a more or less normal life without stress. And quite important for society is that illegal activities and prostitution have decreased. Bringing the addicts away from heroin was indeed one of the goals of politicians and society. And many doctors still see it that way. But that's not that easy. Dr. Seidenberg, who has treated thousands of heroin addicts in his career, calls the abstinence of heavily dependent patients a very dangerous strategy.
It's generally a lifelong illness. The hope to permanently abstain from drugs is a fallacy. It's dangerous, because while you're abstaining from taking drugs, there is always a risk that you can't quite completely restrain yourself, and you might overdose or get an infection.
So what's the situation with heroin nowadays? Is it still quite a big problem?
Not that much here in Switzerland. Even though the heroin is much cheaper nowadays than it was in the late 80s and early 90s, we rarely see young people taking up heroin. Consumption has fallen strongly. The average age of a heroin addict in Switzerland is now around 40 or even more. Heroin has a bad reputation. It's a no-go, a loser's drug among young drug consumers. And so cocaine, ecstasy and all the party drugs in general are much more in vogue.
One long-term programme participant, Evelyn, took Swiss Info inside Bern's distribution centre.
Hello, I'd like 160 milligrams of heroin and 10 milligrams of methadone.
Now in her 50s, Evelyn started drinking as a teenager and soon after tried amphetamines, cocaine and finally heroin. Her addiction took a serious hold on her after her mother suddenly passed away and a low period in her life played out, where she did whatever she had to get money for drugs. Evelyn was one of the first on the heroin prescription programme. She's relied on it for the past 20 years and has held down a steady job working in a restaurant for the last 15. Talking to Swiss Info while she checked the food stocks in the restaurant's kitchen, she explained how she fitted in getting her fix with going to work.
I told the kitchen staff right at the beginning, because I had to go away for my fixes for an hour or so every evening. They didn't have a problem with it, because I was highly motivated. I tried to ask as many questions as possible, and I learned a lot.
As she continued her work in the kitchen, Evelyn reflected on her situation. She doesn't regret the route her life's taken, but years of hard drug use have left their mark.
From February up until the end of August, I underwent interferon therapy for my liver, as I have chronic hepatitis C. That pushed me to my limits at times. And 3 days ago, I discovered that the virus had come back. Now I've finished the therapy, and I'm in the same position as before. I have chronic hepatitis, and that's all there is to it.
Evelyn is one of around 1,500 addicts on the heroin programme. It's a number that's been stable for the past 10 years. You're listening to the Swiss Info programme with me, Jo Fay. LSD is a drug with a wild reputation. It's firmly linked to images of hippies dancing at festivals in the 1960s, conjuring up hallucinations of giant rabbits or something more sinister. It was found in Switzerland by accident at a laboratory in Basel in 1943. Thousands of scientific publications looked at the effect of psychedelic drugs on people and how they could be used in psychotherapy. But as the trips took a turn for the worse, the law clamped down on drug use in hippie culture, and in 1966, LSD was banned, and research almost ground to a complete halt. In 2007, however, the Swiss government gave Dr. Peter Gasser, a psychotherapist in Solothurn in Switzerland, permission to carry out the first medical study of the chemical in around 35 years. I went to meet him. On a quiet, ordinary street in Solothurn, Dr. Peter Gasser has his office. This is where he and another therapist carried out a trial on the use of LSD in psychotherapy on 12 patients suffering from cancer.
We had three mattresses on the floor, so one for the patient and two for the co-therapist and me. We had three chairs also, and the patients normally lie down on the mattress most of the time, but sometimes they wanted to sit. We were in this room the whole day, most of the time lying down.
Gasser tested how LSD affected end-of-life anxiety in terminally ill patients. 11 out of the 12 study participants had never taken it before. They visited him a few times before taking the drug to build up a certain level of trust. But on the day itself, Gasser would simply start out with an open mind.
It's not calculable where the trip goes. So it might be very different phases or very different topics they might experience. Me, it's more the task of the cabin crew in an aircraft and the pilot, this is the patient and the LSD. They tell where the voyage goes or the trip goes. Sometimes it's very positive. They are just happy or whatever. Sometimes it's difficult. They feel despair or psychological pain or anxiety also. And we go through that together.
The participants stayed the night, and the next day, Gasser and the patient would talk through what had happened. Music played a really important part in the process. Dr. Gasser leafed through his CDs and picked out some that he used.
Let's go through. Lorena McKinnitt as an Irish singer. Sometimes I played her. And what else do we have here? Indian techno music. Manish Vyas, Sattva, the essence of being. In general, I can say in the first third of the experience, I play soft music, like meditation music, quite long pieces, half an hour, 40 minutes, something like that. In the middle, where they are on the top of the experience, I play maybe sacred music, like Johann Sebastian Bach, or also film music sometimes. And then in the third part, in the last part of the experience, play maybe music with text they can understand. Very often people have spiritual experiences, like the feeling of melting into the surrounding, of being connected to the whole world, connected to sometimes past lives. That's welcome. I mean, you explain me exactly what you experienced, and we try to give that a place in your life, just so that you understand what it was. I play drum myself also. I have a drum, a shamanic drum. I started to play very low, just to wake up the patient for the sound, and then, I mean, by the time it grew louder.
Gasser's first encounter with LSD was as a psychotherapy student in the 1980s. He'd wanted to try the drug that was being used by others in his field in clinical studies.
I asked one of these therapists if I could have the chance to have an LSD trip. It was deeply overwhelming for me. It was really a deep encounter with me, and I had a difficult personal situation at that time, and I felt that LSD touched me at the point I was the most engaged in that sense, where I had the most problems.
After his first experience, Gasser carried on therapy to work through what he'd felt. In this, the most recent trial of LSD, the participants' anxiety levels went down and stayed down. That was still true a year later amongst the terminally ill patients who were still alive. And the sometimes distressing side effects of taking the drug passed. Although Gasser admits different types of therapy could yield similar results, he believes LSD has something valuable to contribute.
You come directly to the important points, and I think that's the advantage of LSD. And it has this spiritual dimension, which other treatments maybe don't have.
You can find out more about the history of LSD in Switzerland and Evelyn and the heroin distribution programme on our website, swissinfo.ch. And thanks to Julie Hunt and Gabby Oschenbein, who contributed to this podcast.
One pill makes you larger, and one pill makes you small, and the ones that mother gives you.